This is Flight Training the Way I See It with Mike Schiffer. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Flight Training the Way I See It. This is the November 2025 video newsletter. This is Garfield. He works from home. He decided he wanted to be on the podcast today. All right, well, let's get into it. It's a short one this time. Apologize for that, but we got out a little bit late and we had the holiday stuff going on, so it was a lot. So anyway, we did get it done, and there are a few really good points in here I want to bring out. So first thing we're going to talk about is just a quick thing about us. We're having a Black Friday sale and Cyber Monday sale. It's on now. I'll talk about it here in a second. We also have the last Part 141 modernization meeting. It's going to be December 2nd in Fort Myers, Florida, the last one of the year. We're also going to clear up this argument that's been floating around about eights on pylons. Is it a fixed power or variable power or fixed airspeed or variable airspeed maneuver? So I'm going to cut to the chase and tell you, and we'll get to our pilot tips, the pro tips. So without further ado, let's get into it. So the first thing is we're having a Black Friday and Cyber Monday sale. It's on now. It's in full heat. It's going right now. Everything that we have, with the exception of our in-person classes, so all the online courses, all of our digital products, everything, are you ready? It's half off everything. But it's only until Monday, December 1st at midnight. After that, it's back to list price. And we don't make any exceptions. So if you didn't get it, whatever it is, you'll just miss out. But you have a chance right now to get what you've always wanted. For you or for someone, the NCFI training, that kind of thing. But this is very rare that we do such a thing, but we usually do it once a year for this Black Friday, Cyber Monday thing. There's a possibility, there's a slight possibility we will extend it because for a day or more, maybe, we're not sure of that because of the newsletter that it went out late, to be fair, probably, okay? But I can't count on it. So have a look and we'll let you know, right? If you go to our website now, there isn't any coupon code or anything you need to do. Everything is just half price right now. Okay, now let's look at this modernization 141 meeting. That's December the 2nd. So this year, I sat on several committees for the rewrite of Part 141, FAR Part 141. We met several times, sometimes in person, sometimes via Zoom. There's about 100 of us. Now, both October's and November's scheduled meetings were canceled due to the government shutdown. And they haven't indicated to us that there'll be any replacement meetings for those. So I believe that the December meeting will be the final one. Our committees met in the meantime and have our recommendations pretty much ready. After this meeting, the committees will meet again a few more times and finally submit the recommendations to the FAA in March of 2026. From there, it goes into rulemaking and it'll be there for quite a long time. My guess is just a guess, 3 to 5 years before we see anything solid. Could be more, but that's just a guess. So I'll keep you posted on the results of the December meeting and where things go from here, because we'll have an update on what's going to happen, if we're going to make up these meetings or if it's just going to be just do your best. Okay, now we're going to look at the eights on pylons argument that's been going around lately. So lately, especially on the CFI Study Group Facebook page, there have been many posts and replies about whether eights on pylons is a fixed power maneuver. The references quoted vary, but I can tell you this is a fixed, not variable power maneuver. And I'll give you all the reasons here in just a second. It's unfortunate that the handbooks don't say specifically that. But if you read it, you'll find out. But if you read the text, you'll see that you really couldn't do what they say if you allowed the airspeed to stay fixed. In other words, change the power to keep a constant airspeed. So, for example, there's a statement that even in strong winds, the altitude variations are small. This could only be true if the airspeed is allowed to vary during climbing or descending. So if the airspeed is held constant, then the pilot would need to fly between the highest and the lowest pivotal altitude calculator for both the headwind and the tailwind. And this translates into several hundred feet of altitude difference over 20 knots of wind or 30 knots of wind, which is not small. So previous handbooks say that the altitude changes on the altimeter would be barely perceptible, even in strong winds. So let's take a moment here to dive into it a second. So pivotal altitude is the point which the point on the ground will appear to pivot. And its altitude, the altitude of pivotal altitude, is a function of your ground speed, okay? And only your ground speed. So if you want to calculate it, you can take your ground speed, square that, and divide it by 11.3. And that will give you the approximate pivotal altitude. So if you take a look at that number, say 90 knots for our ground speed, and we got a 20 knot tailwind, well, then you got 110 knots is the ground speed when you're going downwind. And when you come upwind, you got a 70 knot ground speed. And if you calculate those out, you'll see that the altitude difference is quite high, in the hundreds of feet. But if you do Aizong pylons correctly, you will not have to fly from the highest pivotal altitude down to that lowest pivotal altitude. And the reason for it may not be obvious, but here it goes. Because you let the airspeed vary, you're not going to try to keep 90 knots the whole way around, indicated. What you're going to do, if you're too high, you're going to pitch the nose of the airplane over. And as you do that, two things are going to happen. The first thing that's going to happen is the altitude is going to start dropping, which is what you want, because you're too high, right? And the second thing that's going to happen is, because the airspeed is not held fixed, it's going to increase. And that's going to actually raise the real pivotal altitude. So you're going to meet it. So it's like a doubling effect. And the same thing happens when you're too low. If you're too low, pivotal altitude is above you, you start a climb. And when you start a climb, you climb up to where pivotal altitude is. And because the airspeed drops, pivotal altitude comes down to meet you. You can do this sometimes with as little as 50 or 80 feet of altitude loss or gain. So the reason that these statements exist in the handbook, like even in strong winds, the altitude variations are small, is because it's a fixed power, variable airspeed maneuver. So hopefully that puts the nail in the coffin there and gets rid of that argument. But it would be nice if in the next handbook they talked about it a little bit more and had a little bit better description. The idea about the doubling effect appears in previous handbooks, but not in the current handbook. And also, just so you know, the images in the new handbook for Aizong pylons aren't right. It looks like you have a constant radius turn even though there's wind, and you cannot do this maneuver and maintain a constant radius. You have to let the airplane drift or the line of sight will change. You won't be able to keep it on the point. In addition to that, it's not obvious that the shallowest turn will be directly upwind, and you'll be farthest away from the pylon at that point. And the steepest turn, are you ready, is going to be on top of the pylon, basically as you're turning to the crosswind. Normally, you'd be crabbing into the wind there to by banking to hold the constant radius, but because you want to hold the pylon, you can't do that, so you start drifting. And if you don't make a steep turn there, you'll get too close to the pylon, lose it, or fly over it. So the steepest turn will be at the top of the pylon. Also, the entry and exit points shown in the handbook are wrong. The roll-on point to the pylon is a lot earlier than they show, and the roll-out point is on the 45-degree diagonal between them, and that's a lot farther than what they show. The 1980 handbook, if you find that, flight training handbook, shows it more correctly. Okay, now let's look at the pro tips. Number one, when taking off on a runway at night, turn on all the lights and strobes as you are entering the runway. Then align the airplane to the left or right of the center line. This makes your airplane easier to see to landing traffic. Number two, don't line up and wait at non-towered airports. Pilots do all kinds of things at non-towered airports, like making turns contrary to the pattern, slipping from a beam to touchdown point with no power all the way to the runway, basically constantly turning with a very short radius. And it's not easy to see what you aren't expecting. Instead, turn the airplane through 360 degrees when you're on the ground to see the entire pattern. Wait for any landing traffic to clear before entering it. Number three, when possible, do a flow check before using the checklist. This way, you just need to verify using the checklist and not have your head down for too long. Mnemonics can also be used instead of flow checks, like the before takeoff cigar tips. That stands for controls, free and correct. Instruments, flight instruments, engine instruments. G is for gas. A is for attitude, that's the trims. Run up, transponder, interior, doors and windows closed, position lights and strobes. And finally, S is for seat belts. Well, that does it for this month's video podcast. November 2025 of Flight Training the Way I See It.
This has been a production of Flight Training the Way I See It. News, tips, and opinion.